Mr. Christmas by Kyle R. Bullock. For Devin, my Mrs. Christmas. Chapter 1. This is the story of how a crazy old guy who thought he was Santa Claus changed my life forever. As a heads up, this story will not contain flying reindeer or elves or any of that magical nonsense. There is nothing mystical about this guy or this story or any of its characters, so don't get the impression that I'm about to tell you something crazy or ridiculous. In fact, let me just give away the ending right now. Everyone comes to their senses and realizes this guy isn't Santa Claus and that he didn't come with reindeer or elves or any of that. Okay, that was my disclaimer. I feel like I can go on now. My name is Ryan, and if you can't tell, I've been a bit jaded and cynical about the whole Christmas thing and my life in general. And that's changing for me. I'm working on some personal stuff right now, and that's due in large part to Nick, but I'll get to that later. First, let's talk about me. I'm a bit of a jerk. I didn't used to be this way. I used to be a real nice stand-up guy. I was a grade A student growing up and a member of the church choir. My ex-wife and I were very popular amongst our peers. We got invited to all the Christmas parties and functions. We had picturesque Christmas cards that we mailed out every year, the kind where we hired a professional photographer to make us look younger and slimmer than we actually were.
"This is going on the fridge of everyone we know for at least the next 6 weeks,"
she would say.
"Please try to make your smile look real."
I wasn't the biggest fan of Christmas, if you didn't already guess. She sometimes had to drag the cheer right out of me. But still, to my point, she was the best thing that ever happened in my life. Then I went and threw it all away on a whim. Well, it wasn't a whim. It was more of a growing dissatisfaction with my life and myself. My spiral started small and it went crazy big. What started as me wanting more me time ended up in an affair and a divorce within a year's time. Oh, and to add to my royal mistake, it was an affair with someone in my office, someone higher up and more valuable than me. So I got fired promptly, which was just great. I then spent the next 43 days looking for work at any neighboring firm that would give me the time of day. In all, I went to 7 job interviews and I got told no 8 times, which should qualify as some sort of record if they give those out to losers like me. The last guy who tossed me out was very droll and annoyed that I was back in his office begging for a job.
"Mr. Connor, your resume looks right, but your references..."
"About that, I can explain," I started.
"It's not something we feel will mesh with our culture here."
I can mesh, I promise. I'm like a chameleon. I'll blend in. You won't even notice me."
"Once again, we aren't interested."
"Oh, come on, please." The guy looked past me to his assistant who sat in the corner.
"Can we get him out of here?"
And that is what led me to sitting in a bar down the street for my latest interview on September 27th, drinking my 3rd beer at 4 in the afternoon. I had just received my 8th no, and I wanted to be anywhere but my dingy apartment. The tie around my neck hung loose and low, ripped from my collar like my hope for this job. An old friend of mine, Laura, she owned the bar, and she didn't mind me sulking with my beverage at the front. It was a small bar, tucked away in between a couple of crummy office buildings a few blocks from downtown. The beer was cheap and the company wasn't neat, which served my purpose as well. Laura kept herself busy at the bar, taking inventory and occasionally peered over her readers to give me a hint of pity. I didn't care. I didn't even pay attention to her, nor the gentleman who walked into the otherwise empty bar and headed straight for the counter. Laura and this guy talked in a tone too low to eavesdrop. She looked confused and glanced over at me and then nodded her head to the man. The guy shook hands and marched cheerfully over to my booth at the front. He appeared to be in his late 50s, early 60s, with a dark complexion. He had the classic friar tuck old ball guy thing going for him and a short, well-maintained beard. What hair he had was speckled with bits of white. His smile was kind and comforting and his eyes were small, round, and bright hazel in color. He had a pooch for a stomach, but he wasn't fat. He was dressed in khakis, a red button-up shirt with a tan jacket draped over his meager frame.
"Hi, are you Ryan Connors? Call me Nick,"
he said, extending his hand out to me eagerly. Hello?
"I know this might seem a bit out of the blue and all, but I would like to offer you a job."
I perked up at this. Sure, he was a total stranger approaching me, a washed-up, white-collar loser, with a job offer for who knows what. But money is money, and money was scarce. So I said, "You want to offer me a job?"
"I do."
He sat down across from me, uninvited, I might add. He still had a glowing, warm smile beaming across his face.
"Your temp agency told me about you, and I had to talk to you first thing. They told me they had sent you to a firm downtown, so I went there, and you had already left, they said. But the door guy said he saw you head into here. I hope I didn't catch you at a bad time."
I've seen better days. You want me for a job?"
"Yes, I think you'll be very suited for it."
What job?" Nick coughed and politely covered his mouth and sat up at attention. He reached into his jacket pocket and pulled out a manila envelope. He fiddled with the catch of the envelope as he spoke.
"You were in finance, yes? A degree in business management, I'm told?"
"Yeah, 7 years at my last job. Started there after college."
"I need someone to manage my factory for the next 3 months. It's only a temporary position, but it will compensate you well, and it will be rewarding work, I promise."
At this point, Laura leaned on the counter, drawing a little closer to us so she could overhear. I didn't mind. Nick went on.
"I just got here. Drove up 2 weeks ago from Texas. I knew this is where I wanted to start my business from the word go. Already have a warehouse, parts and tools are on order and are being delivered any day now. We can be up and going by the end of the first week of October, which is good because we have a lot of work to do."
I'm sorry. I must have missed it, Nick. What are we making?"
"Toys. Classic toys. That's my specialty. Not the things that link up with phones and computers and all that. I do handcrafted toys, for little kids all the way to adults. Of course, Christmas will be here in a few weeks, and we are right in time to get things out by then."
How big is your company? How many people?"
"Right now? You and me, provided you accept my offer."
"You mean you want to start a handcrafted toy company, and you don't have any hands to make them? You have no one to make toys?"
"Not yet. That's where you come in. I want you to help me hire, manage, and produce handcrafted toys in time for Christmas deliveries."
Okay, well, what do your orders look like?"
"My orders?"
"Yeah, what stores are buying them? What quantities? What's the delivery like on them?"
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, I didn't understand at first. I don't have any orders."
At this, Laura stood straight up at the bar and gave her full attention to our conversation. I slid my drink to the side of the table and leaned forward in my seat incredulously. "You have no employees, no orders. You just got tools in a warehouse, and you want to make toys for Christmas? With no orders?" He just nodded. "Then what exactly are you doing?" I asked. He chuckled and patted his stomach happily, coughing intermittently. He looked over to Laura as if to include her in the conversation.
"Why, I'm making toys for Christmas. For the kids on Christmas Eve."
That is when it hit me like a ton of bricks. The only job offer made to me in over a month and a half, the only glimmer of hope, was with a crazy person. I think Laura put the pieces together at the same time, and we both looked at each other and back at this man. "Very funny," I said to him. "Toys for Christmas? Your name is Nick. My God, you're wearing a red shirt. This is hilarious. Very funny. You know, I actually had a little hope for a second, but you know what? Thanks for dashing them to pieces again. Two times in one day. I think that's pretty great." I took another swig of my drink and leaned back in my chair.
"No, it's not a joke. I'm quite serious about this."
He was stroking his beard. This really annoyed me. If anything, he was committed to the part. Look, you want to play Santa Claus? Go ring a bell for charity, but please leave me alone.
But I told you I would pay you handsomely.
I said leave me alone. Nick opened the manila envelope and slid it across the table. Stuffed inside, I could see the ends of $100 bills.
I will pay you $5,000 a month for the next 3 months. That is a $1,000 signing bonus in cash. All yours, no strings attached, if you say yes. And if you come to the warehouse and don't like it, you can quit any time. No harm and no foul.
It had been a long time since I had seen a $100 bill. It had also been a long time since I had felt wanted for anything. I looked over to Laura, who just stood there as dumbfounded as I was.
Give me a chance to show you the warehouse and what we'll be doing, please.
You seriously want to play Santa Claus? For real?
Well, if not me, then who?
He promptly got up with his manila envelope, scribbled an address down on a nearby napkin, and glided out the door with a pep in his step. What do you think? I asked Laura. She just laughed.
$1,000 for a tour of a metal building? That'll buy you a lot of beer around here.
Well, she had a point.